Well, time to talk some rugby league again, and we're about to be joined by the Rugby League Players Association Chief Executive Clint Newton in the wake, of course, of the news that the Australian and New Zealand Rugby League commissions have stated they're adamant of not attending this year's World Cup in England, and plenty to talk about in regards to what's going on with the hubs in Queensland as well. And Clint's been kind enough to give us some time this morning. Morning, Clint. How are you?
Morning. How are you guys?
You're going well, thanks, mate. Now, as it stands today, do the players, under the banner of the Players Association, want to play in the World Cup?
Well, I think under the banner of the Players Association, players are wanting more information and they're wanting to be educated about what comes with any type of possible participation in the Rugby League World Cup this year and everything that comes with it, whether it's the health and safety requirement, the biosecurity protocols, what it looks like if you're vaccinated and unvaccinated, and that's where it currently stands.
Clint, can clubs tell players they're not allowed to play?
Well, under the contract, historically, clubs must they're obligated to release players if they're fit and available. However, the NRL have said that under their contract, they wouldn't look to potentially enforce that rule. So it then comes down to a player and club sort of or employee-employer conversation. And that's something that, again, we'd be assisting players with.
Clint, surely it can't be a good look if now we decide to send, you know, call it individual players that want to go or an Indigenous team or, you know, whatever it is. Surely with this, with the World Cup, it's either we're sending our Australian team, our best team, or we're not.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's, you know, become far more complex than was probably necessary, Michael, is the fact that, you know, the Commission and New Zealand Rugby League have said that they're not going, but obviously that wasn't, that decision wasn't made in conjunction or in collaboration with the other Pacific nations that obviously have a number of NRL players that would be playing. So that's where it's become quite complex, and we'll just have to continue to step through it. But obviously, it's our understanding that I think, you know, over the next sort of week or two, you know, further decisions will be made. And that largely it depends on how the UK government feel about things at the moment, whether they want to back it again for postponement, whether they want to press on, or whether they say, well, that's it for us. We've put enough money into this, and we don't want to be a part of it anymore, which would be devastating for not just the players, but international rugby league in general.
But back here at home, the plan is to go and get more information and potentially appeal this decision. Is it Clint?
It's not necessarily about appealing the decision. The ARLC and New Zealand Rugby League have made their decision. Whether they can come back into the fold or not is a matter for the ARLC, New Zealand Rugby League, the IRL and the Rugby League World Cup. We've got an obligation, you know, like all player associations, to continue to make sure that we're advocating on behalf of the players to secure the best possible terms and conditions, which is absolutely connected to the health and safety protocols that we're looking to embed into the tournament. So obviously there's been a number of changes in the UK legislation when they've lifted the restrictions on the 19th of July. They're looking at the change of legislation on the 16th of August for, you know, what happens if you're a double vaccinated person with a contact track and trace. So there are a number of different things that have obviously happened last week and what will happen in the next few weeks, which is why we thought, well, given what the changes are going to have and the potential impact on the community, it was a matter of just sort of waiting and seeing. And if things got progressively worse or if they didn't meet our requirement, then That's a different discussion with the World Cup organisers.
Clint, you guys would have been in discussion with the NRL all through the process, but did it catch you by surprise when they announced that it was off, or did you have a inkling that that was the way they were going to go?
Well, I knew similar to us and similar to New Zealand Rugby League, there was still concerns with the Rugby League World Cup because, there were still some outstanding matters that required finalising. And now they obviously consulted us up until the point till they made their decision, but we weren't privy to the decision. It was they asked for what our views were. Our views were to hold and wait over the next few weeks, but obviously that wasn't enough to change their decision, which ultimately led to them withdrawing, as it was with the New Zealand Rugby League. So it did catch us a bit by surprise when it happened, because obviously that decision we felt should have been left for another couple of weeks to make sure that everyone was across all the information, which the Rugby League World Cup had been continuing to ensure that they were meeting certain requirements that the NRL and us and other nations put forth.
Clint, we had Buzz Rothfield on the program the other day, and he was talking about a big part of this is because of how the players are, how they are travelling through this COVID bubble mentally, and saying they need a break. Have players approached you about this, and are you aware that they're, you know, fatigued, or they don't want to travel, or they don't want to isolate in a hotel on their way back? Have individual players spoken to you about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're in constant contact with our playing group, and as you know, Michael, depending on, you know, with what's going on with the Australian cricket team and other codes around the world, different players are going to feel differently about, yeah, you know, what they can and can't endure, yeah, anymore. What the players have done in the last 18 months is nothing short of outstanding, given the fact that they've been living under incredibly tight restrictions while still trying to perform, you know, on a weekend to give everyone what they need right now, which is sport.
Yeah, great.
Something to look forward to. So, again, what the players, there's been different bits of feedback from players around the fact that, given the fact that their families were now joining them in Queensland, that was going to potentially offset some of their concerns about being away from their family and then going on a tour. Playing in a World Cup, as you know, Loz, and as you know, Michael, you know, or international cricket, some players for different reasons withdraw. Mm. This just adds another layer of complexity to it. Mm. And again, that's where players were saying, "Well, give us all the information once it's complete. Let us understand what the requirements are, and then we can make an informed decision." Now, if things break a certain threshold, you have to take certain decisions away. But at the moment, there was no rush, given the fact that there's no international matches scheduled at the end of the year outside of a World Cup.
Just in regards to the wider game, Clint, the Six again has been, I guess, a very big talking point through the season, and with blowout scores and also player fatigue. The players, I guess, are they still pushing or voicing to you their wish for the amendments that were brought in at the start of this season to be repealed?
What the players are pushing for, and it's absolutely resounding across particularly our player leadership group, is a seat at the table when discussions are had on the game. Because every decision that is made impacts on the player. So that's what the players have requested. So we've requested at the end of the season a full review to be done on the season, and us to have a seat at the table when any decisions are being made moving forward. Not just a couple of players that were put in a pretty difficult position, as part of the rule changes earlier in the season. That's not how the process works historically with us. We've got a job to do to ensure that we're representing the collective. We run a thorough process, a quick process, where we consult all the players, particularly our leading ones, and then we come forward with a collective position, unlike what has happened, you know, this year. Now, we're seeking commitments from the commission on that, but what we're looking for is to make sure that those decisions that are made, they can't be made without having, you know, clear feedback from players and an opportunity to have a say, particularly when it's, you know, when it relates to their employment.
Well, Clint, it's a lot going on, isn't there? And we appreciate your time this morning again.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.